This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry, Mariana and Tim. It's in the house and we're going to grill Barry about his trip overseas. So nice to have you back in the country.
Oh, I bet it was fantastic, Barry.
It was. The flight home was a bit prolonged. Apart from that, it was awesome. Our first flight, quite a straightforward process, really, getting from Buenos Aires to New Zealand. You have a 2-hour flight to San Diego and then an 11-hour flight to Auckland. All good.
But
except the flight was delayed to San Diego and then we sat on the tarmac for a bit, finally arrived. Our plane was due to take off not long after and needless to say, they wouldn't let us board. That's fine. We'll put you on another flight in 45 minutes. No worries. We got on that flight and it was only when we looked at the boarding pass, we realized they were sending us to Melbourne. So that was 14 hours to Melbourne. I looked on the little flight plan they have on the front of your seat showing where your plane is and there was Auckland as we were flying past on our way to Melbourne. And so then we had to hang around in Melbourne. So we ended up about 12 hours later.
Oh, no.
It could have been a lot worse though.
Still catching up on my sleep.
It's like being in another world when you're at a big event like that, isn't it? Like there's only Bridge.
Oh yeah, nothing
all
else.
There is.
Nothing else exists. That's absolutely right. So our team were all staying in the same apartment, got along pretty well, and we had a couple of really good cooks, as Mariana said.
So I know one of them's Blair. Who's the other one? I'm struggling to
Well, look, who's Julie's the other one. The average height of our cooks was probably under 6 foot.
So you had the long and the short of it in the kitchen, okay.
They did very well. We had a few nights out as well. It's not cheap in Buenos Aires, I have to say. Everything's a bit expensive. Inflation's running at 100%. You can imagine.
Goodness.
So you walk in the restaurant and things are more expensive by the time you walk out.
It wasn't quite as simple as that because you had to look at the price, work out what that was in US dollars and convert that. But by the time you'd done all that, you just gave up.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question about being in a team? You guys just said you stayed together and you had a great time. How important do you think team camaraderie is in an event like that?
Well, our team got on really well, which was great. You're right. I have heard of other teams that have gone away where it hasn't been quite so good.
Yeah, it'd be harder to play your best Bridge, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If somebody's not happy with somebody else or whatever, I can't imagine how bad that would be. I haven't actually played in a team like that. It's obviously a bit of a problem.
Yeah, because you've got nowhere to go. You're almost with them 24/7, aren't you?
To be fair, I wouldn't think that most teams would have all stayed together like we did, but we all know each other.
No, not usually, yeah. No, well, that was one thing I thought as you went, you guys, come what may, are just going to have a fabulous experience and be super supportive of each other, and I think that's great.
After the event, we actually we still spend a bit more time with each other, having a look around Buenos Aires. Must have still been getting on.
Good on you.
That's good.
And making the round of 16.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. First time a mixed team's done that. Of course, once you've made it, you just think, it would be nice to go a bit further. But however, that didn't happen.
It is a world event. So getting that far was just, for little old New Zealand, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. And at one point, we got as high as second in the qualifying round. That was pretty cool.
Just take a photo and leave.
I've got a photo that he sent me when they were actually at the top. They were number one for a board.
That was very brief, but we were actually number one for a while.
Not many people could say that. I just think the New Zealanders do really well because we don't get exposure to the top competition that most other countries that are playing there do. I just think New Zealand does very well.
It's funny you should say that, Pam. I happen to be, because I don't have a life, I was trying to, before the show, I was thinking, what am I going to talk about? And I happen to be reading an NZ Bridge from 2008, which I happen to have here.
Of course, and, so we all.
They were interviewing Jenny Wilkinson, actually, and they were asking, how can our top-level standard of women's bridge, and I think this applies to any bridge, improved to enable us to challenge in the top countries. And she said, in my view, it can't. We're all amateurs with no professional sponsorship and not anywhere near enough international competition. It is one of the few disadvantages of living in New Zealand.
The European teams are a hop and a skip away from each other and they're playing against each other all the time. I'm pretty excited about the WBF having the women's online team in January. That's fantastic to be able to get exposure sitting in the comfort of your own homes. Yeah.
Fabulous for New Zealand, way more important for New Zealand than maybe a lot of countries.
Yeah.
I was also reading another article on bridge winners by one of the Rundstedts. I forget which country they play for. Pretty sure they were in Buenos Aires. And they were talking about all the exciting bridge they'd had in the last month. You know what? They didn't even mention Buenos Aires. They had all these big events all over the place that they'd been playing in. They've just got so much international stuff going on that the World Championships wasn't even mentioned. Whereas for us, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the Trans-Tasman going for a couple of years. It's been nice to play against Australian teams. It'd be great if we could organise international matches. It's just so much more important to us than it is to other people. So they probably wouldn't be highly motivated.
Yeah, that's exactly it. These big European events they play in on a regular basis. We'd cut off our right arms to be able to play in those on a regular basis. But for them, it's just everyday stuff.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, we can hold our
heads up. I remember years ago talking to, I think it was the Indonesian team. And when they got in the team, this was back 15 or so years ago. When they got in the team, they went into a training camp for 3 months before the event. What? I said, oh, that's nice. I said, we get a bit of money towards our fares and see you at the airport. That's not a complaint, New Zealand Bridge. It honestly isn't. You have limited resources. That wasn't critical of New Zealand Bridge. It was a compliment to New Zealand ingenuity, actually, because, you know, do pretty well with very, very limited resources.
Yeah, for sure. And some of these teams have a captain and a coach and whatever. We had Peter Newell as our non-playing captain. He was excellent.
He would be great, yeah.
Yeah, he was really, really good.
Was he staying in your apartment too, Barry, or was he staying?
That would have been a bridge too far for people.
That would have been a bridge too far. But hey, I'm pretty sure he quite enjoyed having a team that got on as well as we did, because whatever he did was not going to be a problem. You know,
whoever just makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, and all three peers were playing well enough that he put them in quite a bit.
That can sort of, if you feel that you're not being played enough, that is another thing that they have to weigh up on. I quite like what you said earlier, Barry, where if you had a great win, that he'd put the team in again to carry that momentum.
The good thing was that Peter actually mentioned that right at the start of the event, that if two of the pairs had a really big win, he'd like to put them in again, even if they weren't scheduled to play again.
And he's hugely experienced, isn't he? Yeah. So that's great.
But it was good to tell us that before we started. He didn't just...
Absolutely, yeah. So you actually know what the plan is.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. Did he have any other plans for the team other than do your best?
He was pretty helpful even heading in. He was in constant communication, asking if he could help with anything. If you did ask a question, he'd send you material to look at. Very helpful. It was very good.
Wow. But, great.
It's awesome. But actually, I'm going to tell a little tale on him, though, which and it involves the thing about the two pairs winning a match, putting them in again. So that happened. The internet was not so great at the venue in some part, and he had trouble sometimes actually putting his lineup in. And if you don't put your lineup in time, you're in trouble. So he sort of panicked a bit and put the lineup in. He put the wrong lineup in. Although he was intending to put those two pairs in, he didn't. And so he said the other two pairs in, he then got absolutely thrashed in the next match.
Oh, that's confirming his theory.
Anyway.
Now tell me, did you have at a tournament of that length, there's one hand that really stands out, you know, like somebody might have gone for 3,400. Does one hand really stand out for you, Barry?
There's one that I won't forget.
Oh, great. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
And it was playing in the knockout stages against Poland, actually. And it didn't have a happy ending. Actually, quite interesting. Only in the knockout stages, you not only have the screens up so that you can't see your partner, you bid on a tablet.
Oh, okay.
Which was way easier to get used to than I thought it would be, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it was fine. And you alert your bids and your partner's bids on the tablet by just touching them on the screen.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. But anyway, this particular hand, Jenny and I bid to six clubs, and our trump suit was ace-jack 10 to 4 opposite king 4, no 9 and no 8. So we got ace-jack 10 to 4 opposite King four. Anyway, we're missing the Queen of Clubs, and we identified that, and we did six clubs, and the clubs
I
are
presume
actually.
you're missing an ace or something
No,
as well.
we weren't. That was our trump suit. We bid to six. We weren't missing an ace. So we bid six,
Oh, right,
missing the Queen of Clubs, right?
right.
With missing five clubs to the Queen 9-8. Anyway, Jenny played it, and she played the King of Clubs and small to the 10. Found the clubs were 4-1. Luckily, the Queen was on side. She actually made seven, and we thought that was pretty good.
That doesn't sound like a bad luck story so far, but here it
Well,
comes.
it was nearly a 30 imp swing on that Queen of Clubs because the Poles bid to seven clubs. I don't know whether
Oh.
they had a misunderstanding, but I don't think they would have been particularly proud of getting to seven clubs.
No.
Anyway, and because the only way they could pick up a 4-1 break was this way, they played small to the king and small to the 10, the same as Jenny did, and made seven. And that was nearly 30 imp swing. If it had gone down, it was about 30 imps the difference, basically. So we lost 14 or 15 instead of gaining 14 or 15.
Oh, yeah, but there's
Right.
always some bunny at a tournament that does something good against you. Like the Polish team.
Right. Anyway, obviously they went on to win the whole thing, but that particular one, that made a quite a big difference to our chances against them. That was early in the match. But anyway, so there you go. Told you it didn't have a happy ending.
Oh, well, that's part of the charm of bridge, isn't it? Sometimes some of the worst things you've done give you the best
I'll tell you another hand actually while I'm at it, and it was sort of amusing in a way, and it's sort of educational in a way, is that Jenny and I were looking for slam in spades, and she'd splintered. She jumped to four hearts, and on her side of the screen, unbeknown to me, she hadn't used the alert card. She'd pointed to her four heart bid
Right.
to indicate, which is sort of quite common. Pam probably knows that when you're in these things, that people don't always put the alert card out. They just point at their bid to say, because it was a pretty unusual bid. We'd agreed spade, and then she jumped to four hearts and then pointed to it.
Yeah, not usually the play.
Anyway, that was fine. And then we got to five spades, and the lady from India, I think she was, doubled it. Of course, when she went to cash her ace of hearts, Jenny roughed it. The director was called to say
Oh.
that she hadn't alerted this four heart bid. And Jenny said, yes, she had. You normally, that's you, she said, you said, whatever. But of course, every table has a video camera recording
Oh,
everything.
yeah.
So the director went away, looked at the video camera, and said that yes, she had done it. She perhaps could have been a bit more animated or whatever about it, but she
Yeah.
hadn't been. But she also believed, and this would never happen at a normal tournament, she said, which is an American director, she said, I don't believe anybody in this room would have played four hearts as natural. And let the results stand. So we played in five hearts, doubled, making six for 1,050. And we thought that was a pretty good score until we got to the score up and found our teammates had
We've
doubled four hearts, making six, and we'd lost four imps on the stand. One day, I'm
amazing.
going to tell you guys a story with a happy ending.
Oh.
Well, there must have been lots of them because you did so well.
There were, but you do remember those
Oh, you
things.
do. You
Tell
do.
us about the lead up. So maybe 2 rounds before the end of the knockout. We're due to play Morocco and they got kicked out. So when did you find out about that?
That was quite early in the piece. So going into the last day, as it happened, because there were 29 countries, you got a bye in one round. And our bye, there were four matches on the last day, and the second one was a bye. And
Okay.
the fourth one was a match against Morocco, which, as you say, got chucked out of the tournament because of possession of cell phones in the playing area. I don't know how the calculation was done. It's obviously it's out of 20 VPs. When we got to play Morocco, we were going to get 13 and a half VPs.
I'll take
Absolutely. I don't know how they worked it out. Everybody got a different amount depending on presumably what their score was at the time that Morocco got chucked out of. We knew we were getting 13 and a half in the last round, and we got 12 in the second round, which was our bye. In the third round, we were playing Ireland, who weren't doing so well, and we had a pretty good win against Ireland. It left us in the enviable position, if you like, of going back to our apartment, watching all the matches, and knowing that we were guaranteed to get in because we were getting 13 and a half off the Moroccans that weren't there.
Wow. Hey, well, there's a happy ending.
Yeah, so that was a happy ending. It was a very happy team that went back to the apartment to
Oh.
casually watch what was happening in the last round, not having to worry.
What I don't understand in all of this is that everybody knows that you can't take a phone into the room. Why? Why? They weren't the only ones, were they?
Well, no, Chile also got, I think they might have been in the seniors. They got caught three times with cell phones. They got a warning, they got another warning, and then they got chucked out.
Did your team captain say, "Hand me your phone before you go in," or?
He didn't have to. We all did.
I mean,
We all
who
did.
wants to go all the way there and get booted out because you had a cell phone? I mean, oh my God.
Well, actually, you were allowed your cell phone in there. What they had on the side of the screen, and you could turn your phone off and put it in this pocket where it was clearly visible. So you could do that. They didn't do that either. It
Just crazy.
was pretty sad, really, that they did that. I don't know whether you listened. One of the more entertaining things that happened, we mentioned it with Patrick, I think, but the Switzerland playing against, I think it was Romania, one of the players opened four diamonds and their partner bid four spades. The person who opened four diamonds was pretty happy about that because they had a couple of spades, so they passed.
No.
And unfortunately, they'd forgotten that their agreement was that four diamonds shows a long spade suit. So they played in their 2-1 spade fit. Yeah, down six.
Yeah, for a good
Now,
board, I suppose.
well, funny things happen, don't they? Because all around the room, everybody was in five diamonds making five or six, except at one other table where their teammates were playing.
Yeah.
And at that table, they opened four diamonds and their partner bid four spades. And yes, they played in four spades in their 2-1, and they went down seven.
Pickup, you know, you're playing at a world champs and these things happen, and that's why people, when you make a mistake when you're at a tournament, please don't beat yourself up because it happens at every level of the game.
You can guarantee whatever stupid thing you did, somebody who's a really, really good player has done something a whole lot worse.
Yep, so never beat yourself up, just move on and laugh.
Yeah.
I noticed, I mean, very basic thing, one of the open teams, they better slam off two aces, two cashing aces. The person who was on lead had both aces.
Yep.
Right. And
They thought it'd be a good idea to lead a trump. So it
uh-oh.
made. I don't know how many errors you've counted there. Maybe you thought nobody would be crazy enough to bid a slam off two aces if they didn't have a void or something.
Oh my
Oh,
goodness.
at least I say it's the beauty of the game, isn't it?
This is at a very basic level, isn't it? I mean, you bid a
Yeah.
slam, you can't really afford to be off two aces, can you? Anyway, it was all great. Haven't played any bridge since I got back. I'm a bit bridged out.
I imagine you would be, yeah.
Well, I had a look at what was happening in Auckland for the tournaments, and I did see that Blair Fisher played with Mike Curry.
Oh, I don't think Blair could ever have too much bridge, could he?
Well,
I did mention this before I went that somebody was going to get off the plane. Well, their plane got delayed as well. They never
oh no.
arrived, and probably going to kill me for this, but Eve got in at 7:45 in the morning from his 11-hour flight from San Diego. Oh, by the way, they got delayed on the tarmac, sitting on the tarmac for 3 hours,
Oh,
increased
torture.
theirs. And so he arrived at 7:45. Mike Curry picked him up from the airport, and off they went and played the Waitemata 3A.
Blair, bro, you come on.
I think he needs help.
Might need treatment for that, Blair.
He probably had a good sleep on the way home, though.
Well, he got 2 A points on the weekend.
Maybe he had lots of leg room on the plane.
How did that help
Maybe
him in the
he had lots
Baden-Wilson?
of.
There is a bit of a race going on for the Baden-Wilson, which is a prize for the player in New Zealand that wins the most A points in a year. And so I think it's sort of a three-way race between Michael Weir, Leon Meyer, and Blair. And of course,
Yeah.
Blair had got a bit behind being over there. Well, the other two were back here playing in the national pairs or whatever the heck else was on. Blair was away for another week. So while he was in Iguazu Falls or wherever he was, he was checking on the results of the national pairs to see how well they were doing. And he decided that they didn't do that well. Maybe he can still catch them. So off to
That's
Waitemata he
awesome.
went.
That just
Oh,
shows pure dedication or confirms that
no,
he's
something.
definitely a bridge addict.
He's won the Baden-Wilson the last couple of years anyway,
Yeah.
but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to win it again.
Going for a three-peat, is
Something like that.
it?
That's it.
Well, it's lovely to have you back, and we're just all very proud of you doing so well.
Really good support from Kiwi Bridge players. Yeah,
Same as the
so
women's making the knockouts. That was awesome as well.
It was too.
I'm sure they don't want to remind him. It was absolutely tragic seeing them sort of lose in that last set to not make the next eight. They were so close.
They were so close. Thumbs up for the next round of world champs.
So that's going to be in Denmark next year, I think. I don't know whether they've actually confirmed it, but it seems like it's almost certainly going to be in Denmark. It's a lot further to fly, by the way.
Okey-dokey. Well, I think that's enough for this week.
Before you go, I just want to say thank you, Kermit, for filling in for me while I've been away.
I quite enjoyed being back on, so if you want me back on sometime, quite happy to.
Absolutely. Thank
Thanks again.
you.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hello, Judge Julie. Look, we've got the old team back already.
Enough of the old, I'd say, but there you go.
Okay, I've got a question. It's that time of year. It's nearly Christmas.
Yep.
This one's from Santa.
Okay.
At Hamilton Bridge Club, and I'm sure a lot of bridge clubs, they don't have their regular sessions. They just have a couple of sessions of what we at Hamilton call Summer Bridge. And what
Yep.
that means is that you get a really wide range of players, all the way from novice up to grandmasters playing.
Yep.
And it's not really a level playing field, if you like. How does a director go about trying to make it as fair as they can? Because, I mean, we all know, you're supposed to toss, but if you don't, my theory is you end up with a lot stronger field north-south than you do east-west.
Why?
I don't know. They all seem to sit north-south. A lot of the good players just seem to sit north-south. I don't know why.
Okay, well,
Opinions.
first question is, does it really matter when it's the holiday piers? What are you playing for? The whole point of holiday piers, I would have thought, was people are enjoying themselves. So if it's a tournament, certainly you see it, but then you know who's going to play. But at a club level, you've got no idea who's going to walk in the door. You want to seed it roughly, you can get the players to start with their friends. Generally, that gives you an approximate seating. But a lot of people do start with their friends when they sit down and they're talking to people. So I don't know that I'm convinced about all the good players sitting north south.
Maybe they just want to hold the bridge, mate.
If the good players were looking at hogging the result, then they'd sit the way that the weaker players were sitting. Because when you're playing against people sitting the same way as you, more than you are against the other people. So you would
I
think
don't
that's.
really believe that many people would look at that. Maybe they would, but
Well,
I don't
I
know whether
mean,
many people would do that.
so I'm not convinced about any of the arguments. I know there are people that like to sit north south. Sometimes age has a factor and ability to move around. And equally, as I said, I think holiday pairs are more about sitting down and enjoying it and not nearly as much about what the result's going to be. And it wouldn't matter if you had an even field. Do you think the stronger players are going to win most of the time anyway?
They
I
should.
guess they are, but
Yeah. If they're not, if they're sitting one direction, they're actually handicapping themselves. All
I
right.
guess
So,
so. Yep.
I mean, if you want to, you can do things, but can't recall anyone ever doing that. And I think in general, it's about the enjoyment of the game. You're not playing for anything as a rule over the holidays. You're
Yep.
just playing because you like playing.
Look at his face, Julie. He doesn't seem convinced.
Yeah,
I'm
well.
not convinced. I think most people still want to do well. I don't think they're there to
Well, if you
enjoy
think they want to
themselves.
do
That's the
well, then
last thing on them.
if you think they want to do well, then you will think that they will look around the room and choose which direction is the easiest and sit in that direction. But you don't think
Okay.
that because you just said you don't think that.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
No, I mean, if you look at the results, just looking at ordinary results, it does seem like a lot of the stronger players seem to end up sitting north south. Why that is, I have no idea,
In
but
that
maybe, you
case,
know.
there, if you're a weaker player and you sit east west, you've got a better chance of winning some master points, haven't
Can
you?
figure that
Because you're sitting the weaker way. So, lots of arguments about lots of things there. But as I said, I think holiday pairs are about people coming along, socialising, enjoying themselves. And I think that is really what you want
You're right, Mariana. I don't believe it for a minute.
to happen.
I think your average bridge player still wants to do well.
I think everybody wants to do well, but that doesn't mean they're going out of their way to win, does it?
Oh,
So,
yeah, to get an advantage.
we all know
You're not.
players who do actually look around the room and see who's sitting north, south, and whatever, but
Absolutely. Pointed that out to you already. So there you go.
whether they would be the weaker players, I don't know.
A lot
Maybe.
of people
Maybe.
just like to start with their friends. And often that is a similar ability, so it sort of self seeds the field.
Yeah.
So you're
Well.
not going to get any great answer from me because I think it's holidays. It's not a gold cup.
I heard another name for that sort of casual bridge, and they called it kitchen bridge.
Kitchen bridge is about sitting down and bidding without much system.
And when you're defending, you lead all your aces.
No, I don't think it's so much that. It's certainly less complex system, kitchen bridge.
I'm going to take her self-seeding tip and I'm going to check Judge Julie's garden next time I see it and see if it's self-seeding or not.
Oh, you know, as I said, you know, get people to start with their friends and that sort of seeds it as best as you can, okay?
I've got another question, but it's not a director question.
Yep.
It's a teaching question. You've held lessons online, is that correct?
Yep.
Do you use the New Zealand Bridge lessons?
Normally, if I'm teaching, because it's important that you provide consistent teaching. And the New Zealand Bridge lessons, even if you don't agree 100% with what they are, and everyone has things that they might disagree with, in general, they provide a consistent teaching platform. They teach the basics well, so that works really well with moving forward with people because you're not confusing them with a lot of different commentary.
Okay, so how do you get the boards uploaded? I guess you use Real Bridge.
Yeah, but you have a file.
Okay.
You load the file and that has the boards.
That sounds pretty simple.
Yep. When you open up the session, you have the ability to loading up a file.
Oh, of course, because you'd be opening the session up like a director. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. You're running it as a director.
And okay, if you can't, so you see
ask someone who knows how to do that for you. You can download the files from New Zealand Bridge or the lessons and you use those.
Okay. Perfect. There you go, Barry. Did you know that?
Of course.
Barry knows everything.
I don't believe that look either, Barry. You're not very convincing today.
No, I'm not.
Hey, thanks for that and we'll catch you next week.
Okay. Well, have a good week, everybody.
Well, now that you're back, are you playing any summer bridge?
I probably will be. I've got a couple of Christmas tournaments coming up, but I couldn't help but notice that you're free now, that you're no longer the president of the Hamilton Bridge Club. And immediately, listeners, as soon as she, as the cloak of responsibility fell from her shoulders, she scored over 70% yesterday at Bridge after the AGM.
Oh, yes. So the weight's gone. The ball and chain's no longer around my ankle. I could relax and play bridge. And don't forget, so I'm going over to play the Convict Pairs this Saturday.
The Convict Pairs?
In Tasmania. That's
so the ball and chain's going to get put back on.
I'll tell William you said hello.
Tell him that it'll be a good look to have a ball and chain around his foot.
Well, that's about it for this week, folks. Congratulations to all the New Zealand teams. They all had their bit in the spotlight for a moment, and some teams had it on them for quite a lot longer. Good to have you back, Barry.
We'll see you with Judge Julie soon.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.